Hare Krishna. I've been asked to speak this morning on Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, chapter 6, verse number 6 to 9. So we'll just run back to the verse 6 and we'll read the translations all through the way through, if that's agreeable. Narada says here, I was the only son of my mother, who was not only a simple woman, but a maidservant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative for protection. She bound me with the tie of affection. Text 7. She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. Text 8. When I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmin school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. And text number 9. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. Influenced by supreme time. Srila Prabhupada's purport. That is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother. And yet, the mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtang Shtapatam Yenibhutale Svayam Rupa Kadami Amdarati Svapanantikam Nama Om Vishnu Pitaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vinanta Svam Jinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharni Nibhishesha Sunyavari Paschata Adhistani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Babu Nichananda Shri Dvaita Gridha Shivasadi Gaudu Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. Please repeat. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. I'm going to read the previous verses again. We'll build up this verse. I was the only son of my mother, who was not only a simple woman, but a maidservant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative for protection. She bound me with the tie of affection. She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. Confirmed. When I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmin school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. Once upon a time, my mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. Anyone popped out any evening recently to milk a cow? Anyone popped out to get a... Of course, you guys in the ashram, ladies in the ashram, you wouldn't do that, but... living outside, sometimes you have to pop round the corner shop to get a carton of milk, and you might get knocked down by a car. You wouldn't get bitten by a serpent. That's not here in UK, but in some countries you might. So we're going about our daily business, and everything's fine. We've got our plans for the future. We have the people who are dependent upon us, and we go about just out the shop, or you go around the corner, and bang, suddenly you've expired. And our dependents, they lament our departure. There are ties of affection which cause grief, and there are practicalities which cause grief as well. If the breadwinner of the family suddenly departs, and I'm sure we've had experience of that, either people close to us, or people we know, or perhaps even in our own family, we suddenly found ourselves, what do we do now? So these are arrangements by the Supreme. Everything is the arrangement of the Lord. As Narada says in this previous verse, the world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. Well, we don't see many wooden dolls these days. They're mostly made of plastic. And we don't see many puppets around. When I was a kid, people had little glove puppets. Anyone got kids with glove puppets? Or puppets on strings? Any finger puppets around? You've seen? No, we don't see none. It's all the... Even the kids have got their phones and laptops and stuff these days. So... we all know a puppet is controlled by a puppet master. Whether it's a hand puppet or a string marionette or whether it's a little finger puppet, whatever, or a rod puppet, lots of different puppets. But it means that one isn't independent. So similarly, we're not independent. We're sitting in the lap of material nature. Sitting in the lap of material nature. Srila Prabhupada once said that the... self-sufficient devotee communities living in the lap of material nature completely dependent upon Krishna's mercy. So whether we're living a self-sufficient lifestyle or whether we're living a hectic lifestyle, 9 to 5, 9 to 6, overtime, 9 till 10, who knows, we're still dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. The difference being that the materialist is dependent upon the mercy of the Lord, but he's in a state of denial. He's in a state of illusion. Any more takes on illusion? Come on, there's a few. What's the materialistic mentality? I'm looking for a word, and these days as you get older, the words just, they disappear. It's very embarrassing. This is the course of material time. Material time takes your brain cells, it takes your memory. Oblivious, yes. We're oblivious to our spiritual nature. And there's a particular word I came up with yesterday. I thought, yes, that's a great word to use in class. And now it's gone. The words are still there, but I can't catch hold of it. So this is the nature of eternal time. I'm still looking for that word. I can't find it. it'll come to me. Blind? No. Bewildered. Yeah, that's another one. We're not there yet. But stupor. That's a good one, but no. Dreamlike. Yes, we're all in a dream. These are all true, but I'm just hoping that word of God is going to come along. It's like rebellion, a word that means rebellion. Isn't that strange? But it's not strange, is it? It's the material time. So whereas the materialist are thinking that he's in control and thinks that he's the in control of things, if a man is powerful and has many people that he can pull the strings on, he thinks he's very successful. It might be in business. He might be a politician. He might be in finance. If he's got people who say yes, sir, he thinks he's very, very successful. This is the materialistic mentality. But a devotee, he recognizes actually, I am the puppet. So our choice is, who are we going to be a puppet of? Are we going to be a puppet of the material nature? Or are we going to be a puppet of Krishna's internal, spiritual nature? But puppet we must be. You've got to be a puppet. The beginning of material, the beginning of transition from material mentality is recognizing, my God, I'm a puppet. So then we change, well, which puppet master do I really want? Who do I want to pull the strings? Sometimes when a couple, a man and a woman, well, these days otherwise, are smitten, they say, oh, they really pull my strings. Our material life is that we love in the material world is we allow ourselves, we allow our strings to be pulled by someone. And this is called love. Yeah, we submit to it. And it's very pleasant. As long as they're pulling the strings gently, of course. But if someone's got you by a rope and they're really, tugging away and jiggling, then it's very painful. A material life will inevitably do that. Sometimes the strings are being plucked and it creates a beautiful melody. Anyone play any stringed instruments here? Guitars, perhaps? Violins, harps, whatever. Huh? Pluck it nicely, it's a lovely sound. I play a tampura sometimes. I thought I might bring it today, but it's a bit difficult on a bicycle. You have to stroke a tampura. Dun, 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 dun. But sometimes I'm playing with it. I say, would you mind? Could you play that? Yeah, I'll play it. Plonk, 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 plonk. No. It's very, very gentle. So, material life isn't always gentle. In fact, it's very cruel. And in this case, Narada is recognizing, actually, that all circumstances are under the control of the Lord. When I read this part, the world is under the control of the Supreme Lord, therefore everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. I immediately thought of Srila Prabhupada's words, the poem that he wrote landing in Boston Harbor. So I did a little printout, and I'd like to read you a little bit of this. So this is Prabhupada's words, Markine Bhagavat Dharma. He wrote it in Boston Harbor in 1965 when the ship came in, his first sight of land. I'll read the whole thing. I won't do the Sanskrit. My dear Lord Sri Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have ever brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. Huh. So Prabhupada's recognizing his being, he's willingly placing himself under Krishna's control. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I'm simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will, And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And then Prabhupada quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages. This is Narada almost speaking here. Which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. He will be liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So, if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So, if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. So, you and I are mentioned in this verse by Prabhupada, this poem. He's wondering, how will you make us understand this message of Krishna consciousness? And he gives all credit to Krishna. By Krishna's potency, his words will have effect. Not that Prabhupada's thinking my words will have effect. By my prowess, but by Krishna's blessings, by Krishna's grace, my words have effect. And this is the symptom of the Shaktivesh avatar. He completely gives himself over to the purpose of the Lord, and the Lord works through him, as we see with Srila Prabhupada. Shishirada Gokulananda Kijai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai. Shishi Gornitai Kijai. So there's a few things touched on this verse today. Once upon a time, so many stories, as a child you hear stories, they begin with once upon a time. At some indefinite point in the past, all we know from the Bhagavatam, as informed by Narada Muni, it was in the previous day of Brahma. So, apart from transcendental literature, we have no literatures which go back into the previous day of Brahma. It's beyond conception. Even that conception itself, before the creation of the material universe, or at least before this present manifestation, there's some history going on, and I remember it. Inconceivable. To the mundane linear thinker, this is fairy stories. But we have Narada's word for it. In fact, the whole idea of memories of previous lives to many people is out of the question. And if the spiritual tradition that they follow doesn't acknowledge even the concept of transmigration or reincarnation, even when presented with much evidence, it's not accepted. Whether it's material scientists or some of the Abrahamic religions, they don't accept reincarnation. But we're very fortunate, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives us the whole picture. Not just what happens in this lifetime, but previous lifetimes and even future lifetimes. And we have our very own healer and hypnotic regressor. He's not here today, but Jayadeva has done many regressions of people into previous memories of this lifetime and previous lifetimes. He's written an interesting book. He includes a few instances of regressions into previous life. Anyone here remember previous life? You remember? Uh-huh. Anyone else? Two of you? Okay, anyone? Okay, let's make it easy. Anyone remember what you had for breakfast 1 month ago? You remember? What you had for breakfast 1 month ago? Tell me. Very good. Every day you have the same thing. Okay, let's make it difficult. What about lunch 1 month ago? Yeah, subject to rice. Yeah. That's why it's good to be very regulated, because you know exactly what you did and had and et cetera, et cetera. So we're either regulated by the material nature or we're regulated by the spiritual nature. But we'll always be, if we don't choose to be regulated ourselves, we will be regulated by another power. So Narada, under the influence and association of the, as he describes, Bhaktivedantas, these sages who've realized the conclusive truth of the whole Vedic system, with their instruction, guidance, and by above all, by their mercy, he's got these deep realizations at the age of 5 years old. 5 years old. 5 years old, 25 years old, 55 years old. It's very rare. And here's someone at 5 years old. We're not told whether this exchange, this pastime happened on this gross planet, on the gross aspect of the earth, or on a subtler level, or whether it was even in another realm. We don't know. But whatever, 5 years old. And there are a number of children, a number of children's wrong word. A number of devotees mentioned the Bhagavatam at a very young age. Anyone recall? We have Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva. Anyone else? Four Kumaras. Yes. Anyone else? What about incarnations of the Lord who appears? Vamanadev. Yeah. So this is a very impressionable age when we're this young. Now we're talking of shelter. The only shelter that Narada has, of course, he's not named Narada at this point. His only shelter is his mother. And he feels bound by the ties of affection. And that's all the only shelter she has. Her family member is this young child, but they take shelter of the sages who come to visit during Chaturmas. They're there for 4 months during Chaturmas. And it mentions here a Brahmin school. I lived in a Brahmin school. So, not much detail. Where would that Brahmin school be? Gurukula? So does she live in a Gurukula? We don't know. She might have sent him away. Possible. Huh? Was the maid serving the lunch lady? Did she have a lunch trolley? Who knows? Or was that Brahmin school there for 4 months while the Brahmins were there? While the sages were there? We don't know. You think it's after the sages left? So his mother was dependent upon rendering some service, and Narada is dependent on her. His name we don't know, of course. But then under the influence of eternal time, his mother goes to get some milk to feed her child, and she's bitten by a snake. Sarpa. Very similar to the word serpent. Similar word there. So the time factor is all pervasive. Every living being is controlled by the time factor. Anybody know what time it is? Huh? 8:45, okay. Anybody know what time it is? Huh? The age of quarrel and hypocrisy? Time to surrender? Yeah. Any other takes on what time it is? Think about it. The what? Those who have materialistic eyes, yes, yes. Krishna brings them distress in the form of time. Yeah. Yeah.
Gives them happiness in the form of super soul.
Can you repeat all of that?
Okay.
Thank you. So for the benefit of all our guests listening in.
So those who have materialistic eyes.
Materialistic eyes, yeah.
Krishna will give them distress in the form of time. And for those whose eyes are within meditating on him, he will give them happiness in his form of super soul.
Very nice. And you said Srimad Bhagavatam class time? Yes. Tamayam, destroyer of the worlds. I have come to engage all men. It's almost breakfast time. You're almost there. So sometimes Krishna uses these instances that happen. Everything is happening in the course of time. Everything has a beginning and a middle and an end. And there are certain points in the course of time which are very momentous. Birth is momentous for the individual jiva soul, and death is momentous for the individual. But looking at it from the outside, we don't take it so seriously. All around it's happening, birth and death, birth and death. You look in the newspaper, obituaries, people are dying all the time. Living entities are dying all the time. But the most momentous occasion during the course of this of time, wherever and whenever it might be, is when the conditioned jiva soul meets the mercy of those who are not conditioned. When the conditioned soul meets the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas. That is the most momentous thing that can happen to any conditioned soul. It's more momentous than being born. It's more momentous than dying. We've been born and died so many, billions and billions and billions, countless times. But how many times have we actually met the mercy of someone of the caliber of the Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada? Whether directly or indirectly. We may think that since Prabhupada's demise, it's not direct. But it's there, here in Prabhupada's purports, in his books. I wanted to read a little pastime concerning my computer, talking about this passage of time, just a couple of days ago, my computer doesn't charge anymore. And suddenly I lost all my notes. So I'm kind of scratching around here with telephones and printouts and bits and pieces. Yeah, that's my excuse anyway. So a symptom of the pure devotees is their compassion. It's their heartfelt compassion for the conditioned living entities. I read a couple here. Recently, one of Prabhupada's disciples had left the Krishna consciousness movement and was encountering all sorts of personal problems. When Prabhupada spoke to the disciple's wife, the words seemed to come right from the core of Prabhupada's heart. Tell him to come back. He is a very intelligent boy. He glanced at the child, the mother's child, who was the son of this father. Now, Prabhupada says to the child, you become a pure devotee and rescue your father. And this was a baby, actually, in his mother's arms. Prabhupada had visited the Radha Damodar traveling bus program. And devotees had prepared him a nice plate of fruit. And Prabhupada just took a slice of papaya. That's all he took. And he offered the plate to the child. It was in his mother's arms. And the child, he went for the strawberry. Prabhupada said, children like the color red. So this is what Prabhupada said afterwards. He said, tell your husband to come back. He's a very intelligent boy. And then, tears welled up in Srila Prabhupada's eyes. His gravity affected the whole atmosphere. Prabhupada says, it is like when I cut my finger, the pain is felt in the mind as well. Similarly, when my disciple has some difficulty, I feel the pain also. So these bonds of affection are not just there between father and child and mother and child. Between friendships, between devotees, it's there also. The bond of affection between the spiritual master and the disciple. And the disciple and the spiritual master. So these are bonds of affection which are, we need to nurture. Nurture that affection, nurture that bond, nurture that loyalty. And when we reflect on the austerities and the difficulties that Srila Prabhupada himself went through in the course of his preaching, coming to the West, in the West, and even after his departure, it fosters a certain sense of humility and gratitude. Gratitude is a very important quality to develop. So I'd like to read another piece here. It was the beginning of 1977. Prabhupada was in Bombay Temple. He was very sick. He had stopped all food intake. He was taking 1/4 a cup of orange juice per day. 1/4 per day. His body had only bones left. There was no flesh. And yet, he was insisting that he wanted to go to London. The doctors had given up responsibility, but as always, Prabhupada was adamant. At this time, one Pancharatrika pandit from Bangalore named Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya came to know about Prabhupada's situation. So he took a flight from Bangalore to Bombay, which in those days, 1977, was a huge thing for a Brahmin priest to do, get on a plane and travel all that way. And he came to meet Prabhupada and asked for a private meeting. Generally, nobody was allowed a private meeting, but when he said that he specially came by flight from Bangalore to meet Srila Prabhupada, he was allowed a private meeting. So quite unusual, but because of the circumstances, he was allowed. So everybody was asked to go out and they talked, Prabhupada and the Brahmin. The conversation was like this. So either someone was still present or Prabhupada recounted this exchange, but this is how it goes. Sampat Kumar, Swamiji, I am feeling very pained that you are suffering like this. Prabhupada, laying down and with broken words, he says, the whole world is meant for suffering. Dukalayam asasvatam. Asabatam. Sampat Kumar, but still, Swamiji, there are so many people depending on you. So, when you suffer, they suffer. Prabhupada, what can I do? Bhattacharya, Swamiji, I want to tell you something. In Vrindavan temple, they are having your deity on the altar. All kinds of people are coming and praying to it and offering flowers to it. And you are still living. According to Pancharatra, when the Acharya is living, if he puts his deity on the altar, then all the sufferings people are having come to his body through the deity. So you please tell your disciples to worship your deity only after you leave your body. He was speaking as if he was giving some information to Prabhupada, which Prabhupada did not know. Prabhupada, I know. I came here to take their suffering. Bhattacharya was shocked. He was not giving any new information. This was well known to Prabhupada, and he was determined to suffer for others. Prabhupada, do you have anything else to say? Bhattacharya, Swamiji, if that is your wish, what can I say? I am only a priest. Prabhupada, even when I leave, I will keep continuing taking their suffering and make them free so they can keep chanting Hare Krishna. As related by Atmatattva, Das, Prabhupada's disciple. There's a Gita class he gave in Los Angeles in 1993. So that's the compassion. A little glimpse of the compassion of the pure devotee, specifically Srila Prabhupada. He says, I will continue to take their suffering. It reminds me of a dream a devotee told me just a couple of weeks ago. He's not initiated. He's looking for initiation. He's been associating with devotees for probably 10 years or so. And some years ago, he was having some problems with his employment. He's now nicely employed. But he was having problems, money problems or job problems, whatever. And he was becoming despondent. And he told me that Prabhupada came to him in a dream. And in the dream, Prabhupada said, it was to give this devotee a sense of perspective. And all Prabhupada said in the dream was, I am also suffering. I am also suffering. And I said, what is he in present tense? He said, yes, oh yes, it's present tense. So the compassion of the pure devotees, the compassion of the acharyas, the compassion of the Bhaktivedantas, it goes beyond birth and death. It extends beyond just this time frame. And the process of Krishna consciousness is something which will take us far, far beyond this time frame. Because wherever we are, we have our time frame. Whether we're born here on the earthly planets, or the lower planets, or the higher planets. But there's always a time frame. So it's almost breakfast time. Talking of time. So we'll finish here. As usual, lots of notes which I didn't get to refer to. One thing I'd like to perhaps read from, just briefly. Narada's been recounting his past lifetime, his previous life. And there's something very sweet and charming about, very confidential, when the spiritual master reveals his previous activities, his childhood, or whatever. Prabhupada recounts, life was simple as a child, he says, but there was always plenty. We were middle class, but received 4 or 5 guests daily. My father gave 4 daughters in marriage, and there was no difficulty for him. Maybe it was not a very luxurious life, but there was no scarcity of food or shelter or cloth. Daily, my father purchased 2.5 kilograms of milk. He did not like to purchase retail, but would purchase a year's supply. He did not like to purchase retail, but would purchase a year's supply of coal by the cart load. We were happy, not that because we did not purchase a motor car, we were unhappy. My father used to say, God has 10 hands. If he wants to take away from you with 2 hands, how much can you protect? And when he wants to give to you with 10 hands, then with your 2 hands, how much can you take? Lots of pastimes. So we read Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, Prabhupada Lilamrita, and the Prabhupada biographies. And if there's a couple of minutes, any points or questions anyone wants to add? So thank you for your attention. Please give me your blessings. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.